is very much rejected nowadays. It's from a bygone era. The Victorian era, maybe. Our grandparents, maybe. But it's not really part of our culture anymore. And, you know, we needn't be too critical of that trait within our society. Because in rejecting rule following, we aren't just being willful and stubborn. In actual fact, if you know anything about how we as for infants, toddlers, children, how we develop, how we think, one of the absolute milestones to show that we are developing our thinking and reasoning is when we are able to, in our heads, see a goal, retain that goal in our thinking, in our mind, and then think about how best to achieve that goal. That's a real milestone in our thinking. It's what we call a big developmental milestone. So discovering in our own way how to achieve a goal and not have somebody tell us how to do it is a big achievement. And we have entrepreneurial people in our societies, don't we, in the world, who are in large part successful because they're great at devising innovative ways of achieving significant goals. Do you recognise this guy? Dyson. He had the idea that, like, he started out with a Hoover, didn't he, that the cyclonic centrifugal force was the best way to get materials and dust and dirt out of air. And he devised a Hoover. You'd be hard-pressed to find a Hoover with a bag nowadays, don't you? They're all cyclonic. What about this guy? Anybody know who he is? Yeah, thanks, Rachel. Jeff Bezos, guy from Amazon. He decided, or he devised a new way of shopping. You recognise it, Tom? You recognise the Amazon sign? Yeah? He devised a new way of shopping, didn't he? Which a lot of us use nowadays. What about this guy? Do you know who it is, Tom? Elon Musk, Tom. Sorry, that was a difficult one, that. A guy called Elon Musk. And he owns a company called SpaceX. And he's been chucking rockets up into space for a while now, hasn't he? And they're working. They're working. He's designed a new way of doing space flight, hasn't he? Returnable rockets. Have you seen those rockets? You've seen the pictures, I don't know whether you've seen them, but of a rocket coming in like that and re-landing on a pad on the ocean. It's unbelievable when you see it. Because we're used to Apollo, aren't we? Wondering whether this thing's ever going to get up in the air at 1970 or whatever it was. Well, let's keep that in mind as we look at God's word this morning. We're looking at Noah's life and times. And last week we noted that Noah was commended for what he did and not what he said. What he did and not what he said. In fact, on four occasions, the scripture records the following. In Genesis 6, verse 22, it says, Noah did everything just as God commanded him. And in 7, verse 5, and Noah did all that God commanded him. And the same thing is said in 7, verse 9 and in 7, verse 16. So Noah's actions and not words are recorded and commended in Scripture. Now then, your pastor will always tell you if in a sermon I've said something that isn't true. And I made a statement in error last Sunday morning. What I said was that there were no recorded words by Noah in the Bible. Well, of course there are. And we're going to come up to those when we get to Genesis 9, verse 25 to 27. What I should have said was, in the event that is exclusively associated with Noah, the happenings on the earth before the flood and going into the ark, was in that event, he had no words recorded in Scripture. He just carried out actions. In fact, Noah is the only major biblical figure involved in an extended biblical event to whom words, or no words, are attributed in the course of that event. He's not recorded as saying anything throughout all this time that we're looking at. In actual fact, the New Testament writer Peter says Noah did and could speak eloquently about faith and God. He says this in 2 Peter 2, verse 5. He says, he did not, talking about God, he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness. So we learn that Noah was a preacher. But Scripture records not one word of what he preached or said in this way. Not one word. And Noah is remembered as one of the absolute greats of holiness and faith mentioned in Hebrews. In Hebrews 11, verse 7, by faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, what? Preach a sermon? No. Built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. Noah outshone everyone else in the whole world by his holiness and righteousness. But again, folks, the point is that Noah was known and commended for what he did rather than what he said. Anyway, back to our passage this morning. I wonder if you noticed something very important. It's actually in Genesis 7, verse 7. And I'll read it to you again. If you've got it in your Bibles, turn to that verse. Scripture says, and Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives entered the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Pairs of clean and unclean animals, of birds and of all creatures that move along the ground, male and female, came to Noah and entered the ark as God had commanded Noah. And then just a few verses later, a few sentences later, it says in verse 13, on that very day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham and Japheth, together with his wife and his wives and his three sons, entered the ark. Eh? They had with them every wild animal according to its kind, all livestock according to their kinds, every creature that moves along the ground according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, everything with wings. Pairs of all creatures that have the breath of life in them came to Noah and entered the ark. The animals going in were male and female of every living thing, as God had commanded Noah. The reason I said eh? Is it just said that? Why is he saying the same thing again? Why this strange repetition by the author of the same event with just some embellishments? You know, we could ask why. Why repeat almost verbatim the same thing you've just said about what Noah did? Why as a right author of Genesis, why would you say that like that again? You see, folks, often when Scripture repeats itself verbatim like this, often with some extra details. You see it a lot in the Psalms. It is very deliberate by the writer. It's very deliberate. You know, it's a means by which Scripture flags up to us as readers something very significant and very important is happening. We're meant to take real notice of what is being said by the author. The author is showing something extremely significant to us as readers. And in this case, the author wants to get across to us Noah's obedience. Noah's obedience of doing exactly what God commanded him, when God commanded him, just as it says, as God had commanded Noah. The author wants us to notice this understanding Noah's status before God, if you like, his standing before God, his absolute obedience to God's word to him. Yes, we may have people who are good at running with a goal and working out how best to achieve that goal. We may be an Elon Musk or a Frank Dyson. I think that's his name, isn't it? I think I might have got it wrong. Or a Frank Whittle. That's where the Frank comes in. Have you heard of Frank Whittle? Yeah? Jet engine, thank you. Thank you, Paul, yeah. He invented the jet engine. Realised that the propeller was a dead end in terms of developing flight, and he devised a new way of getting speed and performance into an aeroplane. And believe it or not, we actually need those sorts of people in the church too. As Baptists, we call them evangelists, or pioneering ministers, or some such. People who will design ministry to fit the context and not necessarily follow what's always been done. In actual fact, you won't know this about me actually, but I was ordained as an evangelist minister originally. Special needs minister, but nationally accredited as evangelist minister because that's just what I did. I set up new innovative ministries and got teams together. But that's in my past. And it kind of stays with you. You want to do things and you don't really want to have to do it the way it's always been done. So you can have those sorts of people in the church and in society. But clearly, something else is at work in this great man Noah that commends him in the whole of humanity as such a man of God. It's not because he's an Elon Musk. And in actual fact, on this occasion, it's not because of his practical righteousness. Do you remember we talked, haven't we, over the weeks that the world was filled with violence. People were violent inherently in their natures and they were abusing people, especially the weak and the vulnerable, those that couldn't protect themselves. And Noah is noted by God of not being like that at all. And God refers to him as righteous. And that's where we begin to get our understanding of righteousness understood as caring for the vulnerable and the weak. We've talked about that before. That's what Noah was like. But on this occasion, in this text, that's not what is commending Noah to God. Something else is going on here. Noah is commended by God. Noah receives God's tremendous blessing Noah is revered as an amazing man of God throughout the history of humanity. Because of, or as a result of, his obedience to God's word to him. That is, obedience defined as doing exactly what God said to him, exactly in the time scale of when God said to do it, and exactly in the way God said to do those things. Noah was absolutely obedient to God's word, and as a result, received the full blessing from God. He and his family were saved from the floodwaters. Folks, the point is this for you and me. There are blessings from God that only come by absolute obedience to God's word in our lives. No bending the rules and timings, an edict of what God says to us. No watering down what God commands or asks of us in his word, our Bibles, scripture. There are blessings only received by obedience to the word of God, faithfully and directly and explicitly applied to our life situation. Such that the equation is this: no obedience to God's word, no blessing. No obedience to God, no receiving from God. There is no negotiation with God. It's God's way or it's no way. Let me ask us this. Are you seeking God's significant blessing at this time in your life? Are you facing just such a need now in your life to have the full blessing of God? Do you think, maybe, that God is asking for obedience, full obedience, to his way, his word in scripture, and the application of that word into your life? In order for you and me to receive the blessing we want so much from him. Or is there a massive area in your and my life where we are being disobedient? Maybe you and me are going our own way, doing things our way. Where we're not following scripture and the teachings of the Bible, yet we're still wanting God's blessing on our lives. For something specific in our life. You see, folks, brothers and sisters, what that thing we want from God, might not be given to us until we sort out our life and begin to put God's word in Scripture to the fore in our lives and apply and obey God's teachings and rules. We cannot pick and choose what we follow of God's word and what we will not follow. I believe there are times in our lives where we so desperately need God's blessing, and he will say to us, I'll bless you, but I want obedience from you. We'll do it my way, because I know best. And I want you to sort out that area of your life. And I want you to sort out that area of your life. If you mean business with me. Noah obeyed all that God said to him. And he received the full blessing and kindness from God. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for your word.